Shouting, crucified, could have come from these lips of mine. The dirty shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me clean. Then I read the red letters and the ground began to shake. The prison walls started falling, and I became a free man that day. Felt like lightning hit my veins. My dead heart began to beat.
Yeah. voice of God started falling, and I became a free man that day. The prison walls started falling, and I am a free man today.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation we believe. We believe. This broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe.
We believe in God. Father, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Thank you today for who you are. We thank you, God, for what you've done for us. God, we believe in you. God, we know that the only constant that we have, Lord, is that you love us. God, and you have prepared a way for us. And God, we thank you so much for that. We pray, God, that you would be with Brother Darrell as he brings your message today. God, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, being Father's Day, we're going to take a little break from the book of Matthew and deal a little more with fathers. And I always try to do this, try to make the message more than just to dads. Most of us in the room are not dads, and so there's a message here, I think, for everybody. There's a title page you see on the screen, and there's an outline of this on the back side of your announcements. You like to use that if you want to be going to the text. That's going to eventually be the text, Genesis 18. Kind of an odd story in Genesis 18. Abraham and Sarah are visited by three angels. One of the angels, I don't know if anybody knows, he was an angel also, or it was God taking a human form. Three heavenly beings visit Abraham and have a conversation with him, and two of the angels are on their way to Sodom to destroy the town. And they came by and they talked to Abraham first and Sarah first. And this, the text we'll read, is a conversation between the angels, between themselves. So anyway, we'll get to that point, but we're going to begin. If you're looking at your outline, we're actually going to begin reading in Genesis chapter 12. You can be making your way there, or you can just watch the screen. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Let's take a little break right here, and let's pray. Father, it's my desire that the Holy Spirit would have His way right now, that the Holy Spirit would be able to take over, take control of me and everyone who's here. Help us, all of us, me, all of us who are here, to focus our minds on what God is saying, what God wants, not so much on what's going to happen this afternoon or what happened yesterday or what's going on next week. And all of that is important. But, Lord, that we could hear You and see You right now. This work of the Holy Spirit that would tune all of our minds and all of our hearts, because everybody in the room is thinking about different things, but that work of the Holy Spirit to tune all the minds and all the hearts into one thing, God Himself. So help us today to worship You in spirit and in truth. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the story begins. Really, this is the beginning. Genesis chapter 12 is the calling of Abraham, just 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." We'll go on to verse 2. Interesting here, that's fine. Interesting thing I want to say is Genesis 12:1, immediately before Genesis 12:1, Abraham's father dies. That same message had come while Abraham's father was alive. Abraham's father didn't do it. His father didn't do what God said. So in chapter 11, Abraham's father dies. Immediately after the death in Scripture comes chapter 12. Where God reemphasizes or says again, "Abram, it's time for you to go." They had made it part way, and Abram's father, for some reason, stopped. So once he dies, Abraham is told again, "Okay, it's time to leave, time to go to a land that I show you." Verse 2, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, this is what I want you to see, along with the other things that I've emphasized, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So just, it's a simple thought, but a very important thought, that as God blesses you, you're to take that and bless someone else. And He tells him specifically, and it's going to happen through your family. As you bless your family. As you train your family, your family will bless someone else, and then that family will bless someone else, and on and on and on. So there's the calling of Abraham. It really wasn't, the next stop is chapter 13. I really wasn't going to do this, and this doesn't have entirely a lot to do with the message, but it is interesting. And so the next stop before we get to 18 is chapter 13, 14 through 17. Leading up to it, kind of filling in the blanks, we aren't at chapter 18 yet, apparently. Abraham, as he's left his home, he takes Lot, his nephew, with him. They are so rich, and the herds have multiplied so much that they have to separate. There's not enough room for all of them. And that's what's happening in Genesis 13, 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. That's important. I thought it was interesting. After Lot had separated, similar to, isn't it, between chapter 11 and 12, after Abram's father dies, then the calling is renewed again. After Lot separates, the calling is renewed again. After Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length, its width, for I give it to you. We'll go on to 18. It is interesting to me that as soon as Lot separated, that God renewed the call of Abraham, almost as if Lot was hindering it. That Lot was not on the same page. That Lot had to be gotten out of the way. As the story goes on, Lot, you know, goes to Sodom. You remember that story, and has to be rescued there. As the story goes on, there's an incident where Lot is actually kidnapped, and Abraham comes to the rescue. And in that story, it says that Abraham recruits all the servants he has who are able to fight. So every fighting man that he has, he tells them to come with him, and they're going to rescue Lot. There are 318 of them. So in Abraham's camp, his place, he has 318 men who are old enough, able to fight. Most of those men, you got to know, have households. So I thought about that. 318 adult men. Not every man's got a household, but most of them do. And so you're looking at Abraham having his camp, his place, being at least 1,000 strong. That's huge. So that's how he has grown. That's how God has blessed him. Okay, if you've got at least 1,000 people to take care of, then you've got all these flocks and all these herds. Abraham's camp, Abraham himself, is extremely rich. He's just, it's huge what God has done through him and for him. Lot, the next time we see him, is in Sodom. His wife, his two daughters, and that's it. Abraham went one way. God was just really blessing him. Lot went the other way. They both started out with huge flocks because the land couldn't control them all. But Abraham just got blessed more and more. Lot just kept losing more and more and more. And this isn't the point, but when you read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and the rescue of Lot, which we're not going to read, Lot is like the worst father ever, okay? Abraham, through his family, God will continue to bless. Lot just kept going backward. Okay, the original text, Genesis chapter 18, 16 through 19. So, three men, two angels, maybe three angels, two angels, maybe someone who is God in human form come to the tent of Sarah and Abraham. Sarah's barren, cannot have a child. They've been promised that God will bless them through the family. It's not happened yet. The angels come to the tent. Sarah's inside the tent getting them something prepared to eat. The angels are outside, and the angels say to Abraham, at this same time next year, I'm coming back, and your wife will have a son. You remember how the story goes? Sarah's inside the tent. What does she do? She laughs. Remember that? She laughs. Now, I think she laughed under her breath and didn't think that anybody heard her. But the angel, you don't really knock on a tent. I get that. But whatever you do to a tent, the angel knocked on the tent and says, Sarah, I heard you. Sarah, you didn't hear me. He said, yeah, I heard you laugh. Sarah said, no, you didn't hear me laugh. I laughed under my breath. You couldn't hear that. And the angel said, oh, yes, you did. You laughed. You laughed because you didn't think that God can do this. And Sarah and Abraham do have a son named Isaac, which means laughter. So Sarah's inside the tent. She laughs. The angel said, yes, I'm coming back next year. And when I come back, you will have a son. This, what we're going to read, that's all taken place. The angels are getting ready to leave. So this discussion is among themselves, the angels. And they're talking about the fact that they're going to go down to Sodom right now. Then the men, the angels, rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way. And the Lord said, maybe this was God in human form. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? So he says it to the other two. Shall I hide from Abraham? Should we tell Abraham what we're getting ready to do? Go down and destroy Sodom? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. I titled the message Generous because in the opening scripture that we read, the calling of Abraham, one translation said that God called Abraham because he's generous. That as God blessed him, and here it makes it plain that as Abraham takes care of his own home, as Abraham commands his own children well, as Abraham is a blessing to his home, his family, that God will take that and begin to bless someone else. That's generosity. Taking what God has given me, passing it on to someone else. If you're looking at your outline, this will also be on the screen. It is what you give. Generosity is what you give to someone else, then what they give to someone else, then what they give to someone else. And what if I type that on out? What would the next one be? Then what they give to someone else. And so it's passing on what God has given you. What happens if, how does the generosity stop? How does the cycle stop? It's not when God stops giving. It's when we stop giving. It's as we give, as we take what God's given us, give it to someone else. So Abraham was to bless the family he had, train that family trains the next one, that family trains the next one. It's not some kind of supernatural thing that God's going to do through Abraham to bless the world. It's not just like in a flash. It's going to happen family by family. It's what you give to someone else, then what they give to someone else. It's how I train my children, then how they train their children, then how they train their children, and so forth and so on. Lot just wasn't going to do it. Abraham's father just wasn't going to do it. Abraham does. Abraham does what God has called him to. Okay, next on our outline, next on the screen. What keeps us from being generous? When God gives to us, what keeps us? When God gives to us and we don't pass it on to someone else, we don't train someone else, we keep it to ourselves. What keeps us from being generous? I only got two things. The first one is we think that what we have is ours. Right now, you may think that what you have is yours. Biblically, it's not. But that's what keeps you from being generous, because you think it's yours. You think God gave it to you. Are you listening to this? God gave it to you to give to someone else. God gave it to you to give to someone else. Now, if you're relatively new to our church, you just got to know that I'm really weird about this. The $100 bill, I hate to shock you, it was not in the paper bag. Okay, I know, you're hurt, you're disappointed, I get that. It was not in the paper bag. I really hadn't intended to tell you this. Somebody gave me the $100 bill this morning to do what? Give it to someone else. Okay, that's why I have the $100 bill. All right, the truth is they're never going to know if I give it to them. But they gave it to me to give it to someone else. What if I keep it and they find out about it? What are they going to, I'm never giving him another $100 bill, you know, right? And I'd be the same way. I'm going to give this to you to give to someone else. And if you don't do it, then I'm still going to stop giving to you. Okay, that just makes sense. We're not going to keep giving to someone who's not going to give it to someone. To give it to someone. And the cycle breaks when people break it, not when God breaks it. But you think that what you have is yours. It's not. I want to remind you of something. You already know this. But you got to be reminded, we all got to be reminded every once in a while. God created us. We all get that. God created the heavens and the earth. Everything we see, everything is created by God. God created it, but he also sustains it. So here's the truth about what's going on right now. Every breath you're taking right there and right there and right there, God's given that to you. He can stop it anytime he wants to. Every breath, God is giving it to you. Every heartbeat, this is where there's a lot of difference. My wife's heartbeat's about half as much as mine. So mine's like this, hers is like this, and then like, I don't know. Y'all with a slow heartbeat, I don't know how you do it. Every heartbeat, God is doing that. He not only made us, he sustains us. Every bit of it. Everything you have is his. He's loaned it to you. He's given it to you to give to someone else. Now, I don't know what that means to you. I'm working on that myself. Well, God, what do you want me to do? All of us have to work that out on our own. So what keeps us from being generous is when we think that what we have is ours. The next one, we think if we give it away, we'll have less. When I give this $100 bill to whoever I'm supposed to give it to, and I will, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to give me another one. Here's the truth. People are handing me $100 bills all the time to give to someone else. To give to someone else. When I hand it, I might have the idea, well, if I give this $100 bill away, I'll never get another one. No, if I keep it, I'll never get another one. See, there's the difference. You think that if you give it away, you're going to have less. No, the truth is, if you keep it, you're going to have less. Lot went backward. They both started out with huge herds. Abraham's herd just grew and grew. I better put this up before I drop it, and then one of you are going to take it. Abraham's herd just grew and grew and grew. Lot's herd just went backward, because Abraham was generous. He kept giving. He kept growing. You think that if you give it away that you're going to have less. The opposite is true. Now, this is faith. This is faith. But God, see, God doesn't spell all that out for you. And he doesn't know where the next $100 bill is going to come from. You don't know where the next $100 bill is going to come from. God does. He doesn't show that to you. But you just, that's what generosity is. That's what faith is. So the next screen. Generous with possessions, all right. That's the message really isn't about that, though. Even though it's true. Generous with possessions. Generous with yourself. Giving of yourself. Giving of your time. That's worth more than money. Giving of yourself. Spending time, spending your time, helping someone, encouraging someone, praying for someone, that means so much more than money. And then grace. How people have been gracious to you, have forgiven you, have been over backwards for you, have given to you. And now it's your turn to give to them. Be forgiving to them. Be gracious to them. Showing grace to them. They failed. They messed up. Yeah, so have I. And so have you. And so it's showing grace to people. Grace is showing grace when people don't deserve it. That's all of us. That's all of us. Now, that's the end of the outline. I do want to just mention one more thing. Most of us in the room are not parents. And so maybe some of this doesn't specifically apply to us. And this is not on your notes. That was the last screen. But I want to encourage you to adopt someone. I don't mean that literally, but I'm going to encourage you to adopt someone. Where you are, what's going on with you, I don't know. The whole being a dad may not be applicable. But that doesn't ruin, and that doesn't take away from your calling to be generous. Adopt someone. Reach out to someone. Help someone. You can, for instance, you can help in our youth group. We feed our children and our youth every Wednesday night. You might help with that. You might help in our youth group in some other way. You might adopt a Sunday school class. You might go to that class. You don't have to teach that class. You might go to that class and just help in some way. You don't have to teach the youth group. You don't have to take charge of the youth group, but you can be there and you can help and you can be involved. You can adopt someone. Maybe there's an individual in our church that just needs help and it doesn't seem like anybody else is helping them all that much, but you see it and you can adopt. You see what I mean? Adopt someone. God has blessed you so incredibly much. And so now it's looking around you. Who can I help? Who can I pass this on? Who can I give myself to? Who can I spend my time with? We're going to have camp here about the third week in July. Come to camp. Help. Okay, please. Please. I said, well, I'm not. Right here. I'm going to get rough with you. All right. And I'm not going to give you a $100 bill in my pocket. I'm going to get rough with you. Stop making excuses for why you can't. It isn't that you can't. It's that you won't. And God has given you this breath and the next breath and the next breath and that heartbeat. Not for you to keep it. Not for you to keep it for yourself, but to give it away. And he's giving this to you, and he's giving it to you. And day by day, he keeps blessing you. He keeps giving to you day by day, and you're not giving it away to someone else. Well, I don't know who to give it to. I guarantee you, you start praying about it, You start seeking, God, I need to do that. That's what I need. I need to get involved in someone's life. I need to help our youth group. I need to help our camp. I really debated several years ago. Our youth group, for instance, and this isn't all about the youth group, but anyway, that's an area that you can help. But our youth group goes through generations. So I remember the generation when Stoney was in our youth group. Okay, you got to be old to remember that. Okay, but I remember when Stoney was in our youth group, and Stoney's about twice as big as I am. Okay, so we're at camp, and something happened at church. I'm not sure what it was, but something really went wrong, and I was depressed. I was down, and we were at camp. Didn't have anything to do with camp. I was just depressed. I was down. I took my lunch tray, and I went to a table as far away as I could get. I just wanted to be by myself. I wanted to be depressed by myself. I wanted to have a pity party by myself. Okay, so I got as far away as I could. I was trying to eat my lunch, and Stoney came up behind me and grabbed me and picked me up and set me down. Now that's, you know, he's twice as big as I am. He can do that. So he did that. Well, I didn't know it, but the whole youth group was there. And so he did that, picked me up, set me back down. One of the other youth came along, took half of my French fries, took them up, started eating them. Somebody, when he did it, took my hamburger, took a bite of it, set it back down. Somebody drank a half a glass of my tea, set it back down. And here the youth group just sat there. I never told them what that meant. I never told them what that meant. They didn't need to know. That action shook me out of my depression, got me out of my pity party. And I didn't even want them there. And, okay, the current youth group, do not mess with my hamburger. Do not mess with my French fries. This is not an excuse to eat my lunch. Get involved. Get in there. Get with them. Be with them. If you are a father, get in there. Be involved. Get with them. If you're not a father, so what? Get involved. Get in there. Get with them. Share what you've got with someone else. Be that inspiration. Be that help. Be that person who prays. Be that person who's just there. Instead of your own pity party, your own depression, get out there and share with someone else. It's amazing what the Lord can do as you give what He has given you. As you give what He has given you. Ask the musicians to come. We're going to have our prayer time now. Ask the congregation to stand with us if you would. Two things I want you to think about, I'm going to ask you to think about when we talk about coming to pray. First one is to pray for ourselves. God, help me to get out of my self. That's probably the best way to say it. God, help me to get out of myself. God, help me to get over myself. And I want to do that. I really do. I want to get over myself. I'm going to quit focusing on me, on what you've given me. Like, this is mine. It's not mine. God, help me to get over myself, get outside of myself. So it's prayer for me. And then, Lord, I'm burdened for someone. You have convicted me, burdened me, whatever the word, about someone. There's someone's on my mind, on my heart, that I need, that I can help, that I need to help, that I need to be involved in. I've been holding them at arm's length, or I've just been staying away on purpose. And you are talking to me right now about this person or that group, that youth group, that Sunday school class, or that person, or my friend, or my person that I'm close to. And God, you're revealing that to me right now. And I need to reach them, help them, encourage them, do something for them, with them. God, you're burdening me for that. And I'm going to come and pray for them. And I'm going to come and pray for me as I try to reach them, help them, be with them. I need prayer, and that person needs prayer. There may be a father who needs to come and pray for his home, for his children, for his wife, for his grandchildren. Or it just may be a person here, just, I'm burdened for someone else. God, help me to reach them. Help me to do something. If you need to come and pray for yourself, if you need to come and pray for someone else, while our praise team sings, plays, that's what this is. This is our prayer time. Come and pray.
Long before my first breath.